plain talk about treatment. You keep asking in your letters how to treat yourself. Well, from time to time, I have given you some definite hints, because the greatest service a practitioner can render, perhaps, is to help equip the patient for handling his difficulties himself. Any denunciation of disease or restriction or evil of any sort as an unreality, with an exhalation of health and plenitude as unalterable realities, your very own, is a legitimate treatment. It will produce results, however crude may be your effort, providing it is genuine and faithful. Treatment, you see, is a mental attitude. It cannot always be put into words. Indeed, it never can be adequately so put when at its height. But usually we work in the lower level of argument, hoping thereby to be lifted to the loftier altitude, where we can see and know without necessity for debate. Certainly, argument is not to be despised. Whether silent or audible, it will bear fruit. As a man thinks, so he is. You are not expected to give a perfect or ideal treatment. Simply do the best you can. This the Almighty accepts. This puts you in a mood where you listen to what He has to say, and perpetually He reminds you, if you will tune your ear to His voice, that you are His beloved daughter in whom He is well pleased, which means, among other things, that He has fashioned you in perfection, and put you forth in the world invulnerable to every casualty, whether in business or home affairs, whether in health or in personal security. Perfect God, perfect world, perfect man is the unalterable law to which the poet refers when he assures, "Underneath are the everlasting arms." Any treatment, therefore, that you may give yourself or another on request will be effective if you do your best, as already stated, to exalt the desirable and to dethrone the undesirable. Sometimes your appeals will be of a higher order than at other times, and yet you will be surprised now and then to find that your spontaneous and apparently feeble efforts have been more productive than your studied or finished ones. Always affirm present and absolute perfection. Do not begin with partial perfection and try to work up to the absolute. Begin with the absolute. Insist that you are there now, that you always have been there and cannot be removed. You cannot talk this language to the world at large, of course, but you can talk it to yourself or to anyone who asks for help, silently generally, but audibly as occasion permits. Yes, perfect God and perfect man is the rule of your existence. You must recognize it, thankfully and understandingly, and reject anything less. Speak invariably out of a generous heart. Littleness, meanness, hardness are obviously at variance with any effective spiritual endeavor. Sympathy and consideration for the troubled open the way for reaching and dissolving their afflictions. The hard-as-nails quality of thought, the condemnatory attitude, and their like are foreign to metaphysical treatment. The prying into people's affairs, the uncovering of latent faults, are unnecessary and inexcusable. Enough of evil has already been uncovered. In fact, evil does not need to be exposed. it can be eradicated without being even mentioned, thought, or known through a searching realization of the allness of good. Then you should speak out of such understanding as you can summon, the understanding that God is life, mind, love, principle, and that you are built of His properties. In thus becoming you, they part with none of their inherent virtue. Hence it is that man and God are one, one in quality, one in inseparability, one in that the two constitute completeness. The very animation you feel, the intelligence you exercise, the influence you wield, are none other than the Almighty working through you both to will and to do His good pleasure. In this understanding of reality, you will be able to see something of the nothingness of disease, of frustration, of despair, of every other hindrance to normal existence. Be very definite and very searching in denouncing the abnormals as illusions, not yours at that. Then there is the necessity for faith. Expect results, promptly and abundantly, since they are always at hand, always on the supposedly troubled premises, awaiting recognition. Speak with confidence, not in braggadocio, of course, but in that assurance which you gather as you recognize the allness of life imperishable and the nothingness of every condition opposed thereto, remembering all the time that this life is yours, or the life of the individual you are helping. Be not afraid. God is with you in the enterprise. In other words, active principle which dwells in you does the work. Hence the promise, "My presence shall go with thee." You speak with authority because you are calling God into action. By Him we mean the tireless Spirit, which knows no resistance, the ineradicable life, which knows no disease, the munificent mind, which understands all things, the dynamic truth, which corrects all imperfections, the vital principle, which overcomes all evil. Patience is always in order. If we do not succeed promptly or definitely, we continue the treatment. We do not waste time wondering why. Rather, do we continue to bend our efforts to the realization of present perfection, regardless of appearances. The word of truth needs to be spoken positively, not half-heartedly, searchingly, not sleepily. Be clear, incisive, vigorous, and absolute, never hesitating or doubtful. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is dynamic, scattering before it all disease, evil, limitation. Be on the alert. Feel sure of your ground. Believe that you are entitled to results, and that your patient is entitled to relief. Finally, there must be that abiding in the truth, that repetition of effort, that willingness to continue until victory is won. Be constant in right thinking rather than spasmodic. Do not ease up when the case improves. Rather, redouble your efforts. A woman householder in India, so the story runs, called in a native electrician to fix up her lighting system. He gave the erring apparatus attention, but still it would not work. she called him in again with a like lack of results. The third day, when he appeared, she said reprovingly, "Boy, why don't you use common sense?" Instantly he retorted, "Madam, common sense is a gift from the gods. I have only a technical education." After all is said and done, there is no substitute for ordinary sense. It will save almost any situation, while a lack of it may sink the best of ventures. In all this adventure, nothing is destroyed, since to change from a material to a spiritual conception of the universe does not destroy the universe or anything in it, but it reveals the universe and all therein contained as real, permanent, and beautiful. To exchange the physical concept of man for the spiritual does not put man out of existence, but brings into view his real selfhood as perfect and immortal. In this transformation, nothing is changed except the erroneous concept of things. This is not all that can be said about metaphysical treatment, certainly not, but it is enough to show that there is no mystery in the process. The most ordinary person can wield its power by emphasizing the things of good report and repudiating the things of ill report.